What does your P&L really have to do with recruiting? That's what we're going to be talking about today on Brokerpreneur Podcast.
Running a brokerage is hard work. So whether you're focused on building your own sales pipeline, hiring the best agents, leveling up your team's production, or protecting the culture you've built, you're in the right place. Real estate brings the challenges, and we share the solution. Welcome to the show dedicated to broker entrepreneurs. Welcome to the Brokerpreneur Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Brokerpreneur Podcast. I'm Dr. Ben Spears, the Doctor of Flow. I'm here with the big guy, as usual, Matt Vi. What's up, Matt?
The Doctor, yo!
Yeah, well, I don't think we've ever said that before. Yo, yo!
Hey, boo-boo!
Yeah, it sounds more like you. Definitely sound more like Yogi the Bear.
That's right.
My kids have been into yo-yos.
Yeah.
It just made me think about that when you said that.
Right.
And they've got this like security guard at their school. Uh-huh. And so Emmett brought a yo-yo to school, and he's like yo-yoing in the hallway, I guess. Security guard yells down the hallway, "Put the yo-yo away." And
wow.
Yeah.
And that's taking the job a little seriously.
Yeah, trust me, this guy does. And he keeps them safe, but he is definitely the Barney Fife of school security guards.
He's been watching too many kung fu movies, man.
Yeah, exactly.
The yo-yo master.
But how's it going, Matt?
The drunken monkey yo-yo master. Doing absolutely, you know, fantastic. How about you? How about you, Dr. Ben? How
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Good.
This is coming out obviously a few weeks later, but we get to meet a couple brokerpreneurs today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. And so I'm super pumped about that.
Yep,
but let's dive right into the content, Matt.
Meet them face to face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we see them every single day,
right?
Virtually, but face to face, we always love that.
Yep.
So Matt, tell us a little bit what we're talking about. I hinted a little bit, but you know, you're the talent.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about finances and how they directly relate to and how they shift and how what you're looking at shifts and changes whenever you're when you're looking at your financial, your P&L or whatever, and then you're looking at your recruiting. It's not always the exact same. You're not looking at the same thing. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and hopefully help some people out and make sure they're focused on the right thing.
Yeah, I like that. And that's especially important this time of year.
Absolutely.
Right. It's February,
right.
Depending on when you're listening to this. And so, you know, I'm not going to say the T word, but they're coming up soon.
Right.
So, guys.
Ends and axes.
Yeah, exactly. In multiple ways.
That's exactly right.
But that being said, guys, check out the links we have in the description below. We got some really cool stuff for you.
Yep.
All right, Matt. So, there are different strategies.
Right.
Because, again, we don't want to look at finances from a what's happening right now and then forget about it.
Right.
Right. We want this to be, you know, long-term success. We want this to be a strategy that we look at, you know, year after year after year, month after month after month.
Right.
Maybe even week, depending
that's,
on how
that's
you look
exactly
at it.
Right.
Let's talk to our audience a little bit about that.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk about this some today, but what's kind of triggered some of this is, you know, we had David Safir on not long ago, right?
Yep.
And he's gonna be coming back on soon.
Super
and super cool guy, super smart about helping brokers make sure their cash flow is consistent in their business, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he talked about a lot of good stuff. He's going to talk about some other good stuff when he comes back on. We've actually got an event coming up with him and all that kind of stuff. So stay tuned for all of that. But what we wanted to do is dig in specifically on what happens recruiting wise and what you're taking a look at on your P&L, right?
Yeah.
So here's probably the, you know, I always try to put things in a nutshell and then expand on it, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, if you look at the 40X way of looking at things, right, there's lead measure and lag measure, right? That's not the only place that talks about that, but that's one of the big places that talks about it. So a lot of times when we look at, and some of it's personality based and some of it's just time based and everything, but what happens a lot of times is the broker either looks at their profit and loss or their budget statements or reviews things with their accountant or whatever, and they either look at it like a lead measure. Hey, here's what I want to do this year. And then the rest of the year, lag measure, lag measure, lag measure, lag measure.
Yeah.
Did I hit it? Did I hit it? Did I hit it? Did I hit it? Right? Instead of how do I break this down into small pieces in order to make sure I stay on track to hit the big piece, right?
Yep.
Well, recruiting has a lot, now that I say it like that, right? People are probably going, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Recruiting has a lot to do with that.
Yep.
Do you have your recruiting broken down into small bite-sized pieces that get those returns?
Yeah.
And so if you know you want to make X amount of profit and you know that you're good at bringing new agents up to speed, then you know how many new agents you have to have, because there's a certain amount of churn and attrition and all that kind of stuff. So you've got those numbers kind of laid out. And when you start looking at that like a lead measure,
yeah,
because a lot of people go, okay, I need this many agents this year. You know, we ask people all the time, right? Every chance we get, you know, tell us about your goal and everything. And man, they can break it down into what their goal is and everything. And I'm not saying this mean or sarcastically, you know, I'm just going to throw it out there because that's how I roll.
You're mean and sarcastic.
Aren't you? I am mean and sarcastic sometimes. So, but if I ask people what their goal was weekly,
yeah,
they can tell me what the goal is annually.
Oh, yeah.
How many do you want to hire per year? Oh, yeah, I want to do this many. I say, how many is that per week? Or how many appointments per week is that? And all of a sudden, it's blown out of the water.
Yeah.
Right?
Hush falls over the crowd.
Absolutely. And you can see on people's face, they're trying to do the math. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I get that and I love that and I know you're busy. But if you're really budgeting and you're a brokerage that relies on income, a company dollar coming from agents in order to pay your bills at all, man, you've got to know what that number is.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of that has to do with just the trends in your market.
Yeah.
Right? Because you may say, I got this annual goal, mm-hmm. and you may have your P&L, like we're talking about, you may have your budget all laid out. But if you look at your trends and like 90% of your hires come in November,
right?
Man, take a look at what you're doing in June. Make sure you're not in the red on some of these categories.
Absolutely. But, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that, Matt. We talk a lot about lead measures. Of course, we talk a lot about lag measures. And I love how it comes into play full circle in almost every aspect of the brokerage.
Right.
Right. You know, the only thing I would say, you know, maybe it has a short window in like culture type items, right. Obviously. But, you know, talk to us a little bit about how just even they can become educated on what to look for in their recruiting numbers, mm-hmm. Because you're saying, oh, I see them sit there and they're like trying to figure it out in their head. Right. Well, we have some brokers that we talk to and they're like, man, I don't know how to figure out any of this.
Right.
Where do they even start, you know, from an education standpoint, or you tell me?
Yeah. So a couple of things, right? So they have to kind of start where they're at, number one. Okay. So if you don't have a budget, if you don't look at your P&L, if you don't run it on a regular basis, man, you got to start there. Okay. Yeah. I don't think that's where most of our brokerpreneurs are. Right. Most of the people listening to this, that's not where they are. Most of the people listening to this are busy. They have a lot going on. They have that. They review it. But whenever they review it, they're kind of looking at the big picture of the numbers and they're not honing in on specific ones that are really going to drive things forward.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's what they need to pay attention to. Okay.
Yeah,
is like what that. Numbers are they going to look at that are really going to drive things forward? Is that, you know, we've heard people say, you know, recruiting solves everything, right?
Yep.
Okay. Proper or effective recruiting solves everything. Completely agree with that. Okay. So if, you know, you can absolutely recruit the wrong people over and over and doing that consistently is not going to fix the solution. All that's going to do is cause other problems that are going to detract from you being able to do that. And then you're going to add more money and more time and more strain and more effort and more strife on piling up something that's not working the way it's supposed to. Right.
Yep.
Oh, so does that solve things? Absolutely. If it's done the right way.
Yeah.
Right, 100% if it's done the right way. So taking a step back and looking big picture at what it is that you're trying to accomplish with your financial goals specifically related to your recruiting. Are you just trying to add agents? Because if you're just trying to add agents, go after new licensees, but that doesn't make that doesn't mean that it's going to be productive, right? Because you're going to have 30
profitable too.
Absolutely. And if you don't have education in place, if you don't have training, if you don't have, you know, ways to get them up and running, man, you're just on a hamster wheel there, right?
Yeah.
Hoping that the right person falls in place while you're straining the rest of your resource. No. So where to start with that big picture is knowing what you're good at. Knowing what you're already putting money into, okay. So,
yep.
So let me give an example specifically on that. You run through your P&L and you look at your staffing. If you run through your P&L and you look at your staffing, and your staffing is already from your opinion, you're already at the top of what you can pay staff wise, mm-hmm. but the staff is underutilized.
Okay.
Okay. Meaning that you have some more capacity with some of those people, or some people might not be in the right seat, then your recruiting needs to be finding agents that match up with the type of support that your staff can leverage.
Okay.
You follow me?
Yep.
Let's say that let's say that you've got a trainer in your office, as an example, right? And the trainer is paid based on mentoring, and he gets a portion of whatever commissions that come in from a mentoring standpoint. Okay, I love that, right? Great job. Well, that means that you need more people on his mentoring program if he's only mentoring 5 hours a week.
Yeah.
So that's who you're going to go and recruit. That's what your recruiting message is going to be. You're going to be out there, hey, you're looking for a mentor, trying to get to the next level of your business. You know, I've got one of the top ones in the business that's here to help. Let me know, we can whatever. That needs to be part of your ad. That needs to be part of your pitch. That needs to be part of the other things that you do, because you already have that in your budget, but you're not leveraging it to the point that you need to.
Gotcha.
Don't go out and try to hire new agents if you don't have a training program in place and you're already stretched thin as you can be. That can't be go out and hire new agents. Yeah. You have to put some other things in place to make sure it's leveraged the way that it's supposed to be. Okay.
Yeah. And if on the flip side, if your training is amazing, and
it does get people up,
yeah. You do get everybody, and you do have everything set up to where an agent can come in. Go recruit some new agents.
Absolutely.
Even when that's the case, we still hear some brokers be like, no, I don't want new agents.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're an amazing instructor. You're an amazing
trainer.
You
love doing it.
And you love doing it. And, oh, man, it's just a lot of work. And it's like, and I don't right. know. I don't get it. Whatever.
Especially if your training is set up in a way that if you're training one person at a time or you're training five people at a time, it's almost the same amount.
Yeah.
Right? Then recruiting solves everything. Yes. Go get those people, right? Yep. If that's what you have in place. But if that's not what you have in place, be careful, because that's not the solution.
Yeah.
There's very few times when it comes to sales that organizations and process, it doesn't have to be fixed and perfect in order for you to go out there and act. Okay. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. 100%. Okay.
With that being said, though, if it's not structured enough, anything you add to it is going to burn it down. It's going to be an accelerant, and if you have a poor process, if you don't have things in place the way that you're supposed to, if you don't have a good team going the way it's supposed to, it burns down what you do have if there's not some structure and process to it, some organization to it. Do not wait until it's perfect. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, let me say that one more time, Ben. I said this will be the third time.
Okay.
Do not wait until it's perfect.
I'm writing it down, man.
I appreciate that. Don't wait until it's perfect. That's four. Get out there and act once you have a certain structure to it, because that's also going to expose weaknesses that you didn't realize you had in it.
Yeah.
What does all of this have to do with your budget? What's all this have to do with your profit and loss? It's very simple. If you pay attention to an organized, structured profit and loss, and you know what you're looking at, you can put pressure on that. And when you put pressure on that, it's going to give you a yield and show you where your weaknesses is. Same exact thing. Just like when you recruit, just like when you try to get an agent up and running, put some action to things once you have a structure to it, test it, and then use your lag measures to see what next lead measures you need to put in place. I know we know this, and everybody out there listening to this knows this. It is all related, and they know this. This is just your reminder to do it. I'm not saying that people listening to this don't know this.
Yeah.
I'm saying do it more.
I'm saying they don't know it.
Some might, but I think a lot of them do.
I'm just seeing if they come back.
I got you.
Come at me, bro. Oh, yeah.
Come at me, bro.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, it's really difficult to look at numbers in a non-systematic or non-process way, because
effectively.
Yeah, effectively, exactly. Because you can look at it, and you know, it can look like a I don't know, like we'll say a roadmap written in Chinese, right, for some people. But it's forcing you to be like, okay, like I've got to figure this out. Mm-hmm. Right? We've all been in that position. Even if you're a numbers person and you own a business, you're looking at these numbers and you've told yourself, I got to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be difficult, right? Yours truly is one right. of the people I'm talking about. It may be difficult because it's like, man, that's just not what I'm into. You know, I want the culture to be amazing. I want to make sure that my agents are as profitable as possible. You know, I want to get out there and focus on my marketing. We hear that so much.
Oh, yeah.
But all of those things, if we look at it like a spider web, all of those things, branch off from the profitability of your brokerage. Mm-hmm. Because all those things get better as your brokerage becomes more profitable,
right?
And so the point that I'm getting at is, if we look at this and we say, okay, I've got to figure this out, and I'm going to figure out a process for it, you're going, number one, you're going to, mm-hmm. or you're at least going to come in contact with people who are going to help you get to that point. Mm-hmm. It's going to like light your fire to then become process driven in your marketing, to become process driven in your training, to be process driven, you know, even in your culture. And once you get to that point, every successful broker that we talk to, their processes and their absolutely. Systems are flipping dialed in. And
but always up for adjustment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, they're definitely not stuck in their ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the truth. So, you know, touch on any of that you want to, man. I'm just kind of rambling there, but it just made me think.
No, yeah, it's all good stuff. Here's what you, when you were talking, this is what it was kind of making me think of, and I ran into this. Okay, so I know that this is the case. At some point, you become profitable to a certain amount, and you become really complacent with that, and you stop looking at what got you to that profitable place. Mm-hmm. And then as things shift, if you're not careful and you haven't taken a look at those numbers and you don't know what that's all about, you're not going to realize why you were profitable. You're not going to truly realize why you were profitable there. That's what you have to make sure that you do. That's why you're looking at your P&L. That's why you're looking at the results and the lead measures of the people that you're hiring, is so that you really understand what created that profitability for you, so you can make the right adjustments when the time comes. So here's the other thing that, you know, you mentioned, you know, people will go back and they'll start looking at the marketing and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and everything. Here's why I got to point this out. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Profitability and looking at your P&L and looking at, you know, did I make money this month and everything, man, that is just so tangible. That is just so, it's right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not tangible.
What's that?
Is your marketing working?
You got that right.
and some people, a lot of people could argue with that.
Yeah,
well, Matt, I've got closings and I've got leads from this and I've got all that kind of stuff and everything. Okay, we could have a conversation about it. Not going to right now, but we could have a conversation about it. But marketing is so dynamic.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people, when we talk to them about marketing, they love, oh, I love marketing and rolling my sleeves up and really digging in and everything. And what they're saying is, I like the process of being able to figure things out and measure the results that are coming from things, but I kind of get a little bit of a pass on it because it's not as tangible as my P&L.
Yeah.
If people loved digging into their P&L as much as they loved marketing, or as much as they loved showing houses, or as much as they loved all of those other things. And I get it. I know why I didn't. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not throwing stones in a glass house here. But if they did, if they loved that just as much, they would see a lot of opportunity in their P&L, just like they see in their marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. When that profitability starts going up, up and up, for some reason, it starts becoming fun to look at your P&L.
Absolutely.
I don't know how that works. For some reason, it starts to become fun, guys. I'm just letting you know. It's out there. So, perfect, Matt. Anything else that you want to touch on before I put a little bow on it?
No, this is a great topic. I love talking about this. It's not always a fun one to talk about. That's why we also try not to... But, you know, we try to approach this topic specifically, profit and loss related to recruiting, and kind of a not direct, a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not going to say in a fun way, but in a non-traditional way.
Yeah.
This isn't, okay, look at your cost of goods. Look at your, look at your physical location costs. Look at your per agent, whatever. All of those things matter.
Yeah.
But this is us talking about kind of the big picture on this and making sure that people take a good look at little pieces of this that are going to make a difference, because that's when they start getting the result that you were just talking about. You start chipping away at a couple of things here and you're like, oh my gosh, that really made a difference. All of a sudden you gamify winning because you're looking at your P&L on a regular basis.
Yeah, I love that. But guys, you know, I mentioned it early in the podcast. Go down to the links in description below and sign up for Brokerpreneur Not So Secret Society. We talk about things like P&Ls, as well as marketing and training and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff every single Friday. It's free, 12:00 Eastern Standard Time for you to come. Register below so that you get the login details each Friday. That's the only thing that we send you. Other than that, Matt, we do this and everything that we do for one reason alone. Tell them why that is.
Man, we just want to be part of your win.